He's the host of the college football podcast, CFB Unfiltered, on the Believe Podcast Network. His Twitter handle is at Josh Taylor CFB. As you may have presumed, we welcome in Josh Taylor. Josh, how's life treating you these days in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Hey, Steve, appreciate you having me on. It's cold out here. It's finally getting windy. We had a weird stretch of like 70-degree weather, and then reality hit back that it is, in fact, winter in Virginia. But still, it's a good time. We got football going on, and bowl season's kicking up, so I'm excited to talk about some college football.
You know, as a first-time guest, I always kind of like to set the stage. So where do you hail from? Obviously, as a big sports fan, curious to know who were your teams, what era was it, just to give us a little Josh Taylor insight.
Yeah, so I was actually born in South Carolina, but raised in Fredericksburg, Virginia, so like the little Central Virginia, Nova area. But I was actually born into the Washington fan base. It's funny because half my family was Cowboys, the other one was Washington. I just got lucky being a Washington fan. So talk about them on another podcast. I'm a diehard fan with Washington. Got a big game this weekend. And then on the college side, the same thing. My dad's side of the family was LSU, but I got lucky enough to be an Alabama fan. And I give that credit to my uncle, just hanging out with him in the summers, watching recruiting tapes of guys like Glenn Coffey, John Parker Wilson. That was really like my first time getting into college football. And then some of the guys like Julio Jones. And, of course, you know, just enjoying the time right now we have with Nick Saban as a head coach. And just glad that I didn't turn out to be an LSU fan.
John Parker Wilson, that's a great blast from the past. You know,
watching all like stuff. That was like the first time I was like, all right, I'm going to be an Alabama fan. I'm all in. I love the show. He's a fun guy to watch. And like I said, Glenn Coffey, some of those guys, Drake Kirkpatrick, Javier Arenas, some of my favorites really growing up.
That's awesome. So obviously the offseason, I mean, the coaching carousel has been a wow. Folks out here, obviously a little shaken. Coach Cristobal decides Miami is his dream job. So you're wired into the game. What's been the buzz about his taking the gig at his alma mater? And if folks believe that, you know, he's the guy to put the Canes back front and center on the college football map.
I mean, I believe it, and I think, you know, he's that culture fit. He's back home. You know, he's speaking Spanish during the press conference. Like, he is back where he belongs, you know, where his playing career was and where his coaching career when he was a grad assistant under Butch Davis back in, I want to say it was 1998 and 2000. So he's just coming back home. I just didn't really expect to see it, I guess, because, you know, Manny Diaz really wasn't fired at the time when all this was going on. We heard Oregon was breaking out the checkbooks to really keep up with it. But I have to admit, I like it. I think college football is good when you have teams like Miami and USC and Texas that are good, those historic programs coming back and really, you know, going back on history and becoming relevant again. And you really have to look at the state of Florida. And when it comes to recruiting, Mario Cristobal is one of the best to do it. I mean, as an Alabama fan, I can tell you his run in 2013 to 2016 was historic. I mean, he was putting out first-round draft pick offensive linemen every single year, whether it's Jonah Williams, Ryan Kelly, Cam Robinson. So as a Miami fan, you have to be excited about this. You have to expect that he's going to take over the state of Florida recruiting-wise because Florida recruiting isn't what it is. And obviously, Billy Napier is going to try to change that. But then Florida State's not what they used to be. So you have this huge talent pool. But you're also bringing some other Oregon guys with you, the offensive line coach, and then also the strength and conditioning coach who's been there for a long time, Aaron Feld. So you got to think this is a good culture fit. He's making all the right moves. He's going at the right time. Clemson's not what it used to be. The ACC's down right now. So I think it is a good fit for him. You just got to really feel for Oregon because he was building something special there with the recruiting classes, you know, the big wins, being Ohio State this year. You know, you got your guys like Kayvon Thibodeau, Penei Sewell going out into the draft. So he was really building something special out in Oregon. But now it's where do you go from here? What is your response to get your guy?
Yeah, that's kind of what we're waiting on. I don't think I've ever hit refresh on my laptop this many times in my life. You know, I'm a child of the 70s, and Miami football barely existed. Then they were a dominant force, and it's crazy to think over the last 18 years, one major bowl, one 10-win season. Though, Coach Diaz, you know, you look at his classes the last 3 years, 27th up to 17th to 11th in ranking. So would it be accurate to say that, you know, Cristobal's not taking over a car wreck, that the Canes may be able to rise up pretty quickly?
Yeah, and you have to look at, you know, how they really finished out the season. Looked a lot better. I mean, compared to how they started against Alabama with the season, you know, the question mark was De'Aaron King and his health. And, of course, you know, he went down the way he did. But I think that you have to be excited of what you saw with Tyler Van Dyke at the end of the season. And Cristobal came out and said, like, hey, I love this kid. I love what he brings to the team. I think he has a great centerpiece at quarterback. I mean, you have to, you know, remember he had Justin Herbert over there. So I think he's going to want to try to copy some of that offense that he had at Oregon and a guy like Tyler Van Dyke, but then, you know, they're pushing out defensive guys every single year. It just seemed like Mandy Diaz wasn't getting the most out of his team. I feel like you wanted it to feel like it was the right fit there with Mandy Diaz, but I feel like Mario Cristobal is the actual right fit. And guys are going to play for Cristobal. I mean, you see him on the field, you know, sitting down with players while they're stretching, you know, stretching with them, going through the exercises with them and stuff. That's what you want. That's what makes him such a good recruiter. He's so relatable to players, and he's so down-to-earth with everybody. So I think he's taken over a really good program at the right time with a lot of talent and in the best state when it comes to recruiting.
Yeah, I think because of the slow start, a lot of people didn't realize just what kind of season Van Dyke cranked out. Talking with Josh Taylor, the CFB Unfiltered podcast. Josh, being based in Eugene, we work for the flagship station of the Ducks. I like to step outside the bubble, get the view of this program from a more neutral observer. So being on the East Coast there in ACC country, what comes to mind when you and the people that you deal with think of Duck football?
Well, of course, you have to think about the Nike deal and all the uniform accommodations that you get out there in Oregon. But for me, it was the Marcus Mariota, you know, the D'Anthony Thomas days. They really changed the game on offense with Chip Kelly, which kind of gets me excited about, you know, the rumors of him coming back. But, like, make no mistake of it, those Oregon teams were physical. I like when Oregon's on top of the Pac-12. I like when it's competitive. You know, them and Stanford always have these good matchups, and now USC might be coming back with Lincoln Riley. Things could get exciting. That's kind of why I was kind of disappointed with Mario Cristobal leaving. I think the Pac-12 was really trending in the right direction to get back to strength, and I think college football, I think, is better. You know, like I said, with these teams like USC, Miami, Texas. But I'll put Oregon in that conversation, too. It is exciting when they beat teams like Ohio State at Ohio State like they did this season. But I think they are a well-respected program, and it is absolutely a place if you're a head coach that you want to go. And, you know, I'm not surprised that some of these big candidate names are coming out. I wouldn't be surprised if some surprising, you know, other ones like Matt Campbell, maybe Bill O'Brien at Alabama could be coming up, because it is a big program to go to. So I think it's, you know, a lot of well-respected around the country, but, you know, especially over here on the East Coast, you remember those days of the Chip Kelly and how fun it was to watch Oregon football.
You know, I want to get your thoughts on the two Are You Kidding Me hires, who in a billion years getting to Lincoln Riley. I mean, the Oklahoma fans had to be like, whoa, we're a stepping stone. So when that news came down that he was leaving Norman for USC, what was your reaction on the Riley hiring?
I mean, it was shocking because of how fast it happened. It seemed like as soon as they lost to Oklahoma State, he was getting off the jet in California, and him and Grinch, you know, had USC polos on already. They were like starting out recruiting and everything. It's just, but I think it is exciting as just a college football fan, because you want Lincoln Riley to get USC back to what it used to be. But also you want to stop seeing these, you know, California quarterbacks like Bryce Young, DJ Uiagalelei, Matt Corral that went to Ole Miss. They're all leaving California and going to some of these other programs. So, like, California as a state has been hurting for, you know, all the recruits leaving the state and going to other big name schools. So I think that's why Lincoln Riley is getting, you know, five-star quarterback Malachi Nelson and a ton of other talent following him over there. It's not surprising. He's the young, the hip, you know, the fresh, fun offense to watch. You know, you have the Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Guys are going to be excited to play for him. And I think it's really going to do good for the Pac-12. Obviously, you know, if you're an Oregon fan, this concerns you because USC has had a lot of talent. I mean, even like guys like Drake London this year, he's going to be going into the draft. There's a lot of talent over there. Now they have someone over there that can actually, you know, develop that talent, recruit well, and get USC back to what it used to be. So as an Oregon fan, you're probably not too excited because that's what you're having to keep up with. But if you just, you know, enjoy college football, you got to be excited. Like, maybe this could get back to the Reggie Bush and the Matt Leinart kind of days.
Same question, Brian Kelly. First guy to leave Notre Dame for another job since 1933. And, of course, he landed with his family in Baton Rouge. That happened fast, Josh. What was your read on that?
Yeah, to me, we did a show the other day and really talked about which, you know, which one were we not really too excited about. And that was it for me. Like, as an Alabama fan, I've never really been too worried about LSU, you know, outside of the Joe Burrow year. But I'm not really worried about Brian Kelly either. I think them getting Marcus Freeman, like, that was their guy. Just, it was just waiting to happen. Notre Dame's had that, you know, old classic football field to it for such a long time. And I think they're going to see such a different look at Notre Dame now that Brian Kelly's gone. To me, it just wasn't that fit. You know, whether it's the fake accent, you know, he's been a Northern guy his whole life. Now he's down south in, you know, Baton Rouge, and you see all these funny memes about it, how he just doesn't fit in. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how recruits take to his style, you know, compared to Ed Orgeron, who was running around campus with a shirt off, you know, yelling at people. It's just completely different. So I want to see how this transition goes. But I think Notre Dame turned out better, to be honest with you, with him going to LSU.
Well, you saw how the players reacted to Freeman, but couple final thoughts for Josh Taylor of the CFB Unfiltered podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. And we learned the guys who were going to the Big Apple as Heisman finalists. You've got Aiden Hutchinson, just a wrecking crew defender from Michigan, Pitt's quarterback Kenny Pickett, C.J. Stroud, Ohio State, and Bryce Young of Alabama. Do we need to waste much time here, or do we strike the pose with your guy, Young, who I think is probably as close to a lock as you're going to get?
Yeah, I think the Vegas odds right now are 40-1, so it's he might as well have it. I mean, people say that, you know, he struggled at times, but I don't think there was a single game this season, even the Texas A&M game, where I'm like, oh, that was Bryce Young's fault. You could say, like, the drive against the Iron Bowl was his Heisman moment, but after what he did to Georgia in that secondary, and of course you have Jameson Williams going deep, and he can score on any defense. I think that Bryce Young is a clear-cut winner. I mean, you put Alabama as the underdogs, saying this Georgia defense is better than anyone that they've ever had to face in the past, maybe even better than some of the classic Alabama defenses, which, you know, hit them with a not-so-fast. Just what he did and really dictates the game from the quarterback standpoint, I think he was the clear Heisman winner. But my thing with the Heisman finalist, I don't think C.J. Stroud should be there. I think that, I know it's going to sound like, you know, a homer bias, but I think it's impossible to not have Will Anderson be there. I agree, Aiden Hutchinson should be there. I love his game, especially as, you know, a scout, someone who breaks down films and stuff like that. I love Hutchinson's film. But Will Anderson's number was so much better than Aiden's. The fact that C.J. Stroud, you know, losing to Oregon, losing to Michigan for the first time in, you know, Lord knows how long, I just didn't see it fit that he really got an invite to New York.
I was shocked. I thought if there was a defender, it was going to be Anderson, because he's just, I mean, the guy's just a menace. Sometimes it's like he cloned himself out there. But lastly, I know you did an NFL podcast for a few years. You talked about your connection to the Washington football team, who I was kind of disappointed at how their season started. But, you know, Chase Young was not the force he'd been. He got hurt. He's done for the year. Now they've won four in a row, and the defense has only allowed over 300 yards once. You got Antonio Gibson running it. How you like their shot to knock off the Cowboys on Sunday?
I mean, of course, I have to pick us. I'll never pick the Cowboys to actually beat us. But I think there's a lot of injuries. I know you're a Giants guy. There's just a lot of injuries floating around right now. Tony Pollard's game-time decision for Dallas, I think that's huge. I know that Ezekiel Elliott won't be able to run north-south on our defensive line with Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Matt Ioannidis. We don't let people do it. If someone's going to beat us in the run game, it's to the outside, like Daniel Jones did on us, getting that edge. So I think, if anything, Dak Prescott's going to be the one that has to make the big plays. But, of course, they have Amari Cooper coming back from COVID. I don't know if he's, how well that transition is going to go, because our defense has been playing lights out, even without our two stud edge rushers, which is kind of, weird to say that the defense has been trending the last few weeks. But I think the momentum is real right now. I think the belief in Taylor Heinicke, which has been an awesome story to watch, it's absolutely there. And like you said, Antonio Gibson's running lights out. I think Terry McLaurin's a top 10 receiver in the NFL, extremely underrated. So my eyes are right on Trayvon Diggs and Terry McLaurin all game long on Sunday. But we're at home. The NFC East race is on right now. The momentum's hot. Dallas is down. The media's talking about them. So I think Washington wins this one. If I had to give a prediction, I'm going to say 27-24 Washington.
I love it.
Let me close.
No, the funny thing is, the casual NFL fan might not be familiar with McLaurin, but every single solitary fantasy player knows him real well.
Oh, yeah. he leads the league in contested catches. The things he does is unreal. He does everything well. It's high point in the ball, whether it's his route running, it doesn't matter. He's had like 20 quarterbacks in his first three seasons in the league. So just the things that he does is just unreal. I'm a huge Terry fan. That's the only new jersey I own because he's that good.
Nice. Folks, he's Josh Taylor. Check out his CFB Unfiltered podcast as part of the Terrific Believe Podcast Network. You can follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at Josh Taylor CFB. Hey, Josh, appreciate the time. Great getting a chance to meet via the radio. Hope you and yours have a fun, safe, happy holiday season, and I look forward to chatting again down the road.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Steve. Had a good time.
All right. Have a good one.